Well, good morning. Everybody get enough turkey, food? Anybody feel like, you know, you have enough, you know, for leftovers for like the next couple weeks, right? I hear you should only have them for a week. So anyway, just for a little kind of encouragement for you. But anyway, I hope you had awesome time with family, with friends. And there's nothing like that time together. And there's also nothing like, you know, sending family off, you know, as well, and say, bless you. Glad you're, it's been great. Been good. See ya. Always good with that. I want to talk today about stress. I want to talk about stress because it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And with Christmas comes a whole nother level of stress. Christmas gatherings to plan, pictures with Santa, Castle Noel, extra events at church, and then there's all that shopping that we do, right? We all have that shopping to do, and there's always those lists. Anyone here do a little Black Friday shopping? Huh? Some of you probably did it online, and you're saying jackpot. More and more people are doing that. Bev dragged me out. I was thinking that, you know, with her working retail, that would be the last thing that she'd want to do. And we kind of compromised, and we spent a little bit of time at Target, and that was good. And that was probably all I could handle, right? Did I have a better attitude? It didn't start out that way, but eventually, right? Eventually, have a good attitude. When it comes to life and the stresses of life, what is the stress in your life? What is it that causes a lot of tension? Stress, by definition, is a state of mental, emotional strain or tension from adverse or very demanding circumstances in your life. Words like worry, anxiety, tension go along with stress. What's it in your life? What would be the pressure? What would be the stress that you go through? As Christians, there's oftentimes this desire to have a very easy prayer to pray. Or maybe there would be like three steps to overcome the stresses of our lives. But God doesn't work that way. And oftentimes it's in the struggles. Oftentimes it's in the real difficult times when you have no answers that God begins to work in your life and help you lean into Him and turn things over to Him. I wish it was different. I wish it was life could just be so much easier without all the different work at times that it takes to eventually turn it over to God. But as human beings, we're just good at taking control. And in that taking control and trying to run our lives our way comes all this stress. And we're not good at giving up control. We're not good at trusting and turning it over to God that we can't see. We don't trust the people that we can see. It's hard enough doing that. And how are we going to trust with some of the larger things of life a God we can't see? Jesus says it this way. He says, "Come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come, enter into that yoke. Connect with God. Walk with Him in life. And the promise is that as we turn it over to Him and partner with Him in life, the burdens will be lifted and the yoke will be easy. And so oftentimes, we make it so much more difficult. Friends, I want to invite you to move down that path with God and to come with some of the burdens that you're feeling right now. Some of the things that you are stressing about and worried about, anxious about, as you came through these doors today, my prayer is that through the process of hearing from God, that we would begin to, in a sense, turn it over to Him. It's not easy carrying the load ourselves. And it adds a whole nother level of burdens that we so often feel. Some of you have been trying that, and you're Superman or Superwoman, and you've been trying that for a long time, and it doesn't work. You're a little worn out by the process. You see, God is our creator, and he's the one that is meant to carry the burdens that we feel and experience. It's not up to us to be the ones that carry that. It's not up to us to be the ones that do not share it with God, but also we don't share it with our friends, the ones that we love. And it just continues to be something that weighs us down and we get overwhelmed with. So come, I want to talk about stress, and I want to ask God to begin to work in our lives and begin to take care of some of that stress, some of that anxiety, some of that worry, some of the things that we're overwhelmed with. I'm going to ask God to do that work today in our lives. You see, I find encouragement from the Scriptures. God breathes life into the Scriptures, and in Psalm 32, there's a great reminder for us of what it's like to turn things over to God and trust God. I like this little passage in Psalm 32, verse 7, where it says, "You're my hiding place, and you'll preserve for me from my trouble. You'll surround me with songs of deliverance." That's a great promise that God will deliver, God will bring us through the difficult time. But in Psalm 32, it starts out with a whole different way of looking at life and an area that we hold on to because we're pretty good at denying that we have a problem. We call sin something different. We don't own the fact that we're all sinners. We don't own the fact that we've sinned against God. We've missed the mark. And we'll say, you know, yeah, I blew it, or I made a mistake. And God says, can you repeat after me? I sinned. I fell short. Can you kind of own up to that? Because here's what I find. I find that when we don't deal with our sin, that there's a whole level of stress that comes by doing that kind of silent thing where we hold it in and we don't confess to God. And David the psalmist says this about sin. He says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered." I mean, he committed murder. He committed adultery. David knew a little bit about sin, but he also knew a lot about God's grace and forgiveness. And later on in David's life, he was known as a man after God's own heart. That's grace. And notice what he says, "Blessed is the one whose sin and the Lord does not count against them, and whose spirit is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." In other words, when I kind of held it in and I didn't talk about it with God and I didn't confess my sins to my friends and to those that would care about what's going on in my spirit, it got worse. And he goes on to say, "For day and night your hand was heavy on me." God disciplines his children. God doesn't let us off the hook. Shame, guilt are there because of our sin. And there's this heaviness that takes place because of that. "My strength was sapped as the heat of the summer. And then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. And I said, I'll confess, I'll agree with you about my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin." What freedom of just finally owning up to the sin. And in that comes a great freedom. You see, we experience stress when we kind of push sin aside and we ignore it. We think, okay, I'm okay, it'll be fine, da-da-da-da, another day, one day I'll deal with it. And God says, there's no better day than today to deal with your sin. Notice some words for sin from this passage: transgression, rebellion, refusing to submit to that authority that God has placed over you. God has given us certain limits, and he wants us to follow the Ten Commandments, not 10 suggestions. He wants us to follow those commands. He gives that for us, for our own well-being. Sin, another part here in the passage, to miss the mark. Transgression looks at the violation of a known law. Sin looks at coming short of what God has designed. Iniquity, from a word meaning bent or twisted, has the nuance of perverting that which is right, erring from the way. Deceit, deliberate cover-up, falsehood, hypocrisy, trying to pretend like we're something that we're not. Those are the descriptions in this passage that describe what sin is. But notice as well what it says about forgiveness. To forgive is to bear, to carry off, to take away a burden. It's lifting that burden, lifting that guilt, that shame off of our shoulders and emotionally moving it away from us. And Jesus did that. In the Old Testament, there was a scapegoat, and it was a reminder that when the blood was placed on the scapegoat and he would go out in the wilderness, your sins are forgiven. Great picture of forgiveness, of grace. In the same way, Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, took upon himself our sins once and for all, placed upon himself our sins. And when we come to him in faith, he promises to forgive us. He promises to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I like the word here where it says covered in the scripture. Out of sight. God puts our sins out of sight, which means he'll never bring up our sins again. It's forgiven. We do it, especially as spouses. Like, we'll bring up the stuff that you did, you know. We'll bring that up. And God never does. God is a forgiving God, and he covers it completely. He forgives completely. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed our sins from us. Man, his forgiveness, his grace, how awesome is that? And none of it is counted against us. That's another word that he used here in the passage. Not charged to our account. In other words, we owe God a great debt because of our sins, but he doesn't make us pay. He pays the debt for us. And so you don't see the debt, you see Jesus Christ, the one that forgives, the one that offers grace. And so I look at all those reminders because there's a lot of stress, pressure that we bring upon ourselves when we sin. And I'm reminded that there's a God that has a solution for all that stress, all of what's going on there. And he encourages us to come to him and own our sin. And he says in Psalm 32, blessed or happy is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. His sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them and whose spirit is no deceit. That person who's forgiven, that receives the blessings, the grace of God, is happy, joyful. He knows the love of God that's just showered down upon him. And because of that, the stress is taken off. And there's a much more happy, contented, loving person, the person that God forgives. So what are you hanging on to that sin for? What are you holding on to it? Why haven't you confessed it to God? Why haven't you come to God and said, here it is? Why haven't you owned up to it? Why do you allow the stress of life and the stress of that sin that is kind of hidden? Why do you allow it to just kind of be the burden that you continue to hold on to? Give it over to God. Give it over. Allow your spirit to be renewed. Allow God to give you that grace and forgiveness, because he promises if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, don't be stressed about sin. Deal with it. And allow God to free you and show you his love and his grace. There's another reason we get all stressed out about life. In Psalm 32, it goes on to say this, therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. For surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place, and you'll protect me from trouble. And you'll surround me with songs of deliverance. You see, we experience stress because we carry our burdens, all the burdens of life we carry, and we don't turn it over to God. And here he's saying, David understands the value of just taking all those things in prayer and taking it to the Lord, and knowing there's some truth here that when the rising of the mighty waters come, that they're not going to reach that person because he's given it over to God, and God is the protector. He's the hiding place. He'll protect us from trouble. I love the fact that I get to be a grandfather now and just get to do fun things with the grandkids. And one of the things that they love to do is do that hiding, right? And little Mark had his boxes down in Florida that he would go into those little boxes. It's amazing. You can spend thousands of dollars on toys, but it's that cheap box that provides all kinds of entertainment for him. He'd go in there and he's hiding from you and he wants you to look at him and he wants you to get in. And I didn't quite get in. I don't think I could fit. Or if I did fit, I'd probably never get out. I couldn't back up because I'm old, you know. But anyway, you see that value, right? Of just wanting to hide. And there's something about that that's really attractive, right? And the picture here is of us hiding. Hiding in God's love and his presence and just knowing that he will take care of those needs that we have and he protects us. He doesn't allow harm to come. He's the one that is always there for us. And no matter what you go through in life, you know that there's a God that will protect you, that loves you best and knows exactly what you need. And you can find peace in his presence. I think about the passage in Matthew 6 where we're told not to worry about all the different things of the world. Today has enough worries of his own. Stop worrying. Stop fretting about all those things. But we do that. We carry the burdens. We don't take it to God. And I like how he says in Matthew 6, "Oh, ye of little faith, why do you keep holding on to this stuff? Why do you worry about all this? Don't be like the pagans who run around and fret over all this stuff. Don't be like them. Oh, ye of little faith." And he's saying to us as Christ followers, we can have little faith because we don't trust God. Just think about the things that you're worried about. Even today as you came through these doors, think about the things that you're concerned about as you come up to Monday morning and what you have to do at work. Think of the things that you're consumed with. And I think God says to all of us, "Oh, ye of little faith." I think he wants us to have great faith, big faith. You see, everybody is a follower of Christ. Everybody trusts him, and we trust him for salvation. But can we trust him for all the things of life? And can we turn it over to him and walk with him? He says in Matthew 6, look at creation. Look at all of creation. Have I taken care of the flowers? And have I taken care of my creation? And then he says, how much more will I take care of you? How much more? He does a pretty good job with creation. I mean, it's beautiful. And God is able to do even more in your life. Take those burdens, take those concerns to God. Allow him to work in your life. We experience stress because we carry the burdens of life. It's not your responsibility. He's the creator. He's the one that's meant to carry the load. Allow him, whatever it is that you're worried about, allow him. See, if we don't take time to just kind of sit down and relax in God's presence and get alone with God, if we don't take time to slow it down and just talk to God and say, God, here's what I'm going through. If we don't open the scriptures up and say to God, speak into my life. We just keep living life with the pace of life and all the things of life, and we take upon ourselves all of what we got to accomplish, and we don't have the talk with God. He just says, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this day. I don't know what this looks like. I mean, God, this is a financial problem here, and I don't know how we're going to be able to pay that bill. God, you know what's going on here, and we just get honest with God and we tell him all about what we're stressed about, what we're worried about, what consumes us. And when we just do that, it's amazing what God does. Because you come away from that time when you slow it down and you take that to God. You just come away from that just refreshed, renewed, encouraged, because you know it's not your responsibility. And like there's this voice, right? There's the voice that says, I got this. And I love when God just kind of really communicates with this megaphone in the midst of the stress. I got this. And it helps me to step back away from my control and the ability that I have to try to manage life. I'm not good at that. God's the one that's my creator, and he manages life much better. And then he goes on to say this. He says, I'll instruct, and I believe that this is talking, this is God kind of intersecting this psalm, because he says about giving his loving eye is on you. He says, I'll instruct you, and I will teach you in the way that you should go. I'll counsel you with my loving eye on you. And don't be like the horse or the mule. And, you know, and you might want to just say that in your family, you know, stop being the mule, right? There's other things you could say, but anyway, I would go with don't be the mule. Be so stubborn, okay, don't be him, that have no understanding, but must be controlled by a bit and a bridle, and they'll not come to you. The picture is out there on the farm, and, you know, everybody else comes in, they get all the other cattle in, but here's this mule out there. Hailstorm comes, he's still out there because he's stubborn. He thinks he can do it on his own. We can do that as well. When we move outside of the boundaries that God has given to us in his word, we experience stress because we dislike God's guidance. We think that he is the one that's stifling us. And how dare him put these instructions for us in our lives. And we just want to live life our way. What's wrong with that? But there's these boundaries, these guardrails that God places in our life, and it frees us. When we live outside of those boundaries, guess what? There's a whole lot of stress. There's a whole lot of stress when we move outside of that protection. And so we need to guard our hearts. Guard our hearts. Allow God to work where he guards our heart. And only you can do this. Proverbs 4:23 talks about the value of guarding our hearts. And it says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Some of you, your heart's broken. Some of you, your heart has been just run over by people. For some of you, you know, there's all kinds of stress in your life because you just allowed people to kind of bring about a lot of hurt, a lot of pain in your life. And I feel for you. When that happens, I feel for you, and my encouragement to you, if I was sitting down counseling with you, would be to say, you need to guard your heart. You need to be the one that kind of allows this gate to occur. Boundaries are all about a gate where you let good things in, and you make sure there's not the bad, difficult, evil things that occur. Make sure that that doesn't come into your heart, into your life. Make sure you protect your heart above everything. And for some of you, you don't have a good gate. You know, you just let everything in. And because of that, there's all kinds of stress. There's all kinds of stress as well because you don't understand the whole principle of you reap what you sow. In Galatians, it talks about that. In Galatians 6, that we need to understand this value that you reap what you sow. So when you sow good things occur. You'll harvest good things. When you sow bad seed, bad things will occur. And here's the other principle. And you don't get in the way of that with the people that you love and care about. You do it for yourself, but you also make sure that the people around you, they will sow. And they need to reap the consequences of their own actions. And that's not unloving. You're really helping them. That's godly. It might be the hardest thing to do, to kick your 40-year-old out of the basement. It might be the most difficult thing you can do. And you're thinking, I can't do that. I can't. No. And he gets out in the real world and he has to deal with the consequences of his own actions. That's one of the most loving things that you can do. We prayed a long time for Mark. We thought that would be our case. And he married well, and we're so blessed that we have. Oh, Jamie, thank you, thank you. Whenever we experience time with Mark and Jamie and the little one, you know, it's like, oh, yes, it could have been much worse. That's why we actually, you know, got a cottage that has no basement. Anyway, so sow good seeds in your life, okay? And when you do that, you're going to reap the consequences of really good things. There's all kinds of guardrails, guidance there that God gives to us. And some of you are feeling so stressed because, number one, you've allowed some really bad seed to take root in your life. And you haven't dealt with it. And you're dealing with the consequences of that. If you don't have good financial sense and you're not staying within your means or living within your means, that's because you've disobeyed God's word and his guidance. And because of that, you will reap consequences, and there'll be lots of stress in your life because of all that debt and all the credit cards and everything else. You're going to experience a lot of stress because you reap the consequences of your own action where you didn't listen to God. You didn't like what God said. Because God says, you know, give 10% on the top, and then you need to save 10%, and then live within that 80% within the means, and life will go, well, you don't like that. So you move outside of that, and you reap the consequences. And then this last one, say yes to what God calls you to. You know, God calls each of us to use our spiritual gifts, and it's 1 Peter 4:10. It talks about those gifts that God has given to us. And we're just happy people when we use our gifts and we serve God. And there's something really freeing there. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. He's the model for what it means to find life in those things that we kind of deny, our needs, our wants, and we give. But I know that some of the happiest people are those that understand this value of not just being consumers all the time, but being servants. And there's a great reminder here in this passage of that. It says as well, the last part of this passage, it says, many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in Him. Rejoice in the Lord, be glad and righteous and sing, all you who are upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord. And there's a good value here that we experience stress because we miss worshiping God. And we keep worshiping God as a kind of last on the list or way down on the list. You all, I'm preaching to the church choir right now, but you all get that and you're here. That's a great thing. But there's a lot of people as Christ followers who fail to really see the value of worshiping God and keeping that a priority. And it's worshiping God both corporately and privately. Privately, we come to God and praise. Psalm 103, praise God, my soul, all my innermost being, praise His holy name, praise the Lord. Forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with love and compassion. Lord, I praise you for all those different things that you provide for me. Your love is amazing. Your grace, the way that you show up daily in my life, and I connect the dots. I just see you at work. Thank you, Lord, for that. But corporately as well, in Psalm 100, it says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. He is who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Therefore, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Corporate worship is important. It's valuable. It's a de-stressor. It's one of the maybe quietest, in a sense, you know, times where you just connect with God. There's times where you just don't want to leave because God's Spirit is here and you know that He's helping you in life. And why is it that we push it aside and we say, okay, I have these other priorities. I got to go to Casa Noel today. I mean, it's amazing. From this time on, you'll leave these doors and you'll see the crowd at Casa Noel. That's sad. There should be a crowd here and then, right? Casa Noel. But we get our priorities mixed up. And we make all those other things more important than worshiping God. And so we experience stress because we miss worshiping Him. Hear me. Here's some ways of overcoming stress. Be honest about your sin. Don't let that be a stressor. Get honest with Him. Just get real with God. Open your heart to Him. Stop running from the sin. Stop thinking that it's concealed. Your sin will find you out. That's a promise I'll make. Your sin will find you out. It will get exposed one day. Do it now. Allow it to be exposed before a holy God and confess and work through it. And then cast all your anxiety on Him. That would be a great verse to memorize. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You should memorize it. Memorize it. Repeat it over and over again. Put it on your window, your kitchen, you know, fridge, wherever you need. Put it on your mirror when you get up in the morning. But memorize Philippians 4, 6, and 7. and cast all your anxiety on him. Turn it over. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's the promise with Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Live within the godly boundaries that God has provided. Stop stepping out from that, because there's all kinds of stresses when we do. And then finally, get to church. Get on your knees. Worship God. You'll be amazed when you take some time to do that, how it relieves the stress. Here's where the work gets very difficult. One thing to say that and to look at that, it's a whole other thing come Monday morning. But you know what? God will help you. And you'll remember some of these truths. And when you work it out in your life, there'll be a whole lot less stress. I want more than anything for this church and for you all as sons and daughters to have not little faith, but huge, great faith, because you've turned it over to the living God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that for all these sons and daughters here. I don't know what it is that they might be stressing about, but you know it. And you hear their hearts. You understand the anxiety, what they're feeling, what they're going through. We have a high priest who sympathizes with our weakness. You understand because you came and dwelt here. And so you know the shortcomings. You know what we go through. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to turn it over to a Savior that walks with us in life, that helps us to understand, but also to be able to turn it over and know that there is a God that goes before us. Lift the burdens. I think of the word where it says that we're to turn it over to you, come to you. And Lord, we're weary and we're heavy laden, and we haven't even gotten to December. We haven't even turned the calendar. But that's the life we live today. Help us to de-stress. Help us to be still and know that you're God. And help us to turn it over to our Creator and let you carry the burdens that we face. We have enough on our own. Help us to walk in that today, Lord. I pray for great joy. I pray for great joy for each one here as they enter into that rest. In Jesus' name, amen.